Business, finance, politics. There's a lot going on out there, and the Wall Street Journal's What's News podcast covers it all, twice a day in less than 15 minutes. Navigate your world with What's News, wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's your money briefing for Friday, January 27th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. We talk a lot about inflation on the show. Prices rising at rates not seen in 40 years have thinned out people's paychecks and caused them to pull back on spending or buy cheaper products than they normally would. But it's also given people inflation fatigue, prompting them to defy the grip of inflation.
They still have a job and want to feel like they live a good life. So they're splurging on these more expensive items in order to feel like they still have an income.
On today's show, we'll talk with Wall Street Journal reporter Rachel Wolf about revenge inflation spending. And we'll hear from an Atlanta man about how he saved by shopping at the dollar store to afford a $6,000 couch and an even more expensive watch. That's after the break.
What then will the future reveal?
There's one thing we know about the future. It's being built now.
We all have a stake in the future.
The future.
The future.
The future.
And the Wall Street Journal's Future of Everything podcast is here to give you a glimpse of what's on the way. I'm Danny Lewis. Join us as we dig into how science and technology are shaping the future.
For that is where you and I are going to spend the rest of our lives.
Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Americans have had it with inflation. They're tired of skimping and doing without. So if there's some wiggle room in their budget, some have gone in the opposite direction, purchasing expensive vacations and fancy watches. But is that a wise move in an unsettled economy? In a moment, we'll hear from a 38-year-old Atlanta resident about his recent splurges. But first, Wall Street Journal reporter Rachel Wolf wrote about this topic, and she joins me now. Hey, Rachel, thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
So, you know, Rachel, no matter what kind of economic situation you're in, inflation has pretty much weighed down on your personal finances for much of the past year.
People have had to make all sorts of budgeting micro decisions. So they're not only cutting back, they're not only perhaps going on fewer vacations, buying less fun items at the grocery store, but they're also trading down, buying cheaper products than they used to, switching to generic versions of brands that they've bought their whole lives, or even switching to shopping at, say, the dollar store for grocery items and household goods that they used to always buy at CVS or the grocery store.
And while inflation has ticked down in recent months, it's not like prices are coming down. They're actually rising just at a slower pace. So how are people able to, you know, take a hard turn and start splurging on things?
So some are calling this revenge inflation spending, which is basically...
Hold on. Revenge inflation spending? It almost sounds like people have a score to settle.
People do feel like they have a score to settle with inflation. They want to reclaim agency over their finances. They still have a job and want to feel like they live a good life. And so they're splurging on these more expensive items in order to feel like they still have an income. It's a phenomenon similar to staying up really late after working hard and doing chores all day. It's called revenge bedtime procrastination, which means you're like reclaiming these lost hours in your day by kind of screwing yourself over by going to bed too late. It's a similar thing where, you know, after having to spend more time budgeting, having to trade down, buy more bulk items, generic versions of products that they always bought, the branded version of, people are revenge inflation spending on things they might not otherwise have bought. One woman I spoke to has been ordering in less frequently. She's no longer going for as many manicures or hair appointments. She's even been going to therapy less frequently because it's an expense that she's just, you know, has had trouble rationalizing. She canceled her cable subscription. She no longer gets any magazine subscriptions. And yet, a couple months ago, she bought a last-minute trip to go on vacation to Cabo in Mexico. She was like, you know what? This is a good deal. It feels good. And I'm just going to do it.
Now, you also spoke with Atlanta resident Lamont Johnson for your story. He's 38 and a marketing consultant. Hey, Lamont, thank you so much for being with us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, Lamont, first of all, in what ways has inflation changed your spending habits?
Man, a lot. I'm a dollar store kind of guy. Even though I like my high-end labels and like to dress and, you know, dress well and things like that. So I'm paper plates, thinner sort of napkins and things like that I'm getting from the dollar store. You can even buy this drink, Sparkling Ices, which I love. I get those from there. That's my store. I absolutely love it. And I swear by it, especially with everything going up because, you know, it kind of trickles down. So they're going up slightly a bit, but not as far as these grocery stores and these other places out there as well.
So amid all this careful spending, when did you start to think about spending on luxury items?
Well, I've always been someone that liked to, you know, buy something nice for myself. It became like less often and more splurgy. So I began cutting back on things and then I'll just say like, hey, it's something that I really want. I think my last biggest purchase was the couch that I got from Restoration Hardware, but a purchase before that was a Rolex. But I also find with things like that, it's always something that I can always sell back or something like that. You know, people like to buy used furniture based off how it looks, and Rolex, as long as you keep it in great condition, that's something that can always go back. So that kind of lets me rest assured as well. But as of lately, I've been, you know, doing a little more splurging, if you will.
So what kind of money are we talking about for the couch and the Rolex?
All right, so the couch, $6,000 from Restoration Hardware. And, oh my God, the Rolex. It was used that I purchased, and that was for $18,000.
Oh, okay. Wow. So when you're buying your day-to-day products, how does that help you do the math and know that you can afford things like the couch and the watch?
Right, but it's not just me cutting down on napkins and toiletries and stuff like that. It's a lot of things that I found myself that I was spending money on that I kind of cut back on. Me, I always been sort of a cable guy, no matter what was happening with the apps and things like that. I'm all Xfinity. I'm going to get the deluxe package. But it's not until like I've been noticing everything to where I downloaded the app Sling, which sort of acts as a guide, gives you all the channels and things like that, lets you DVR and all of that stuff without paying. I have a low cut, a baldy kind of, so there are times where I cut and shave my own head and my beard to cut down the haircut cost, which is pretty high because, especially in Atlanta, they charge a lot for haircuts here. And that alone can save you like a few hundred bucks a month. I downloaded the Rocket Money app, which lets me know all the things I have subscriptions for and how that can just be withdrawn, because a lot of things I forget about until I find out that it's debited from my account. So I cut down with that. I cut down with the Uber Eats, which is expensive in itself. Let's be clear, I love Uber Eats, the convenience of it. I'm always working. I love the idea of the car just coming up and even coming up to my door and dropping off whatever food I want. But I had to calm down on that because not only was I ordering Uber Eats, I was ordering Uber Eats sometimes for three times a day for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And then also tipping the driver. And then on top of that, they have a priority option where you can kind of skip everybody else. And that's, you know, so it really adds up.
But if you're like a lot of people, inflation is eating away at your paycheck. Plus, we're in a pretty unsettled economy. Are you concerned that there are a lot of unknowns about the economy looking ahead?
Not really when it comes to my business. I find that even with the pandemic and everything that happened, my business never really took a hit. I got maybe it was a lot of people that wanted to get messaging out. Because in the PR space, I work a lot in the restaurant industry. I work with a lot of restaurants and chefs and things like that. And a lot of them were still, you know, pumping with their restaurant. Of course, they were closed, but they had to pay rent. And then they had to let people know when they started doing takeout and start letting people know when they were reopening and all that stuff. And I was involved in that whole process. So I figured whatever happens in the economy, you know, these businesses are gonna want to make sure they get the right messaging out. If they are staying afloat. So I find that my business is recession proof. So I don't really worry about everything as much as I guess everybody else does.
All right. That's Atlanta resident Lamont Johnson. Lamont, thank you very much for taking the time to be with us.
Thank you for having me. It's a blessing to be on Wall Street Journal on the podcast. So thank you.
So Rachel, the luxury industry really seems to be benefiting from this mindset of splurging in the face of otherwise tight day-to-day expenses.
You know, the luxury market had an explosive 2022, despite a decline in overall retail sales, and that's due in part to people like Lamont. there aren't many signs of it letting up either. The consulting company Bain & Co. predicts the luxury market's consumer base will expand from about 400 million people in 2022 to 500 million by 2030. Also, many luxury brands are now offering more fashion items at cheaper price points to meet this diversifying consumer base. So, you know, people are going for these, they call them like entry level or opening price goods where you're buying, you know, you might not be buying a Hermes bag, you're buying a belt or a scarf. You know, something that's still expensive, but a little bit less prohibitively so. People are also looking for luxury at more affordable price points in the secondhand market, which has really been booming.
Now, if you have the extra money to do this, that's great. You can go out and sort of treat yourself. But we should make it clear that we're not advocating people take their money for day-to-day expenses and run out and buy a high-end product.
Definitely not. And the people who I spoke to for this story are not blowing all their money on luxury. They are just rethinking how they're spending their money. So, you know, in some ways, this budgeting, this careful budgeting is enabling these splurge purchases. But, you know, these aren't always planned. And it's not necessarily always the best financial decision, but it's what feels the best psychologically. And people feel like they really need the reminder that they still are leading a good life and have a good job. You know, these are a lot of people whose salaries have not actually changed. You know, they're middle income folks who still have good jobs. It's just that their purchasing power, the amount that they're actually able to buy with their salary, has dramatically gone down. So, you know, it's not everybody who's doing this. There are so many people who cannot afford to make these splurge purchases.
Right. And Lamont told us he's in a position where he's not too concerned about the possibility of an economic downturn because of the nature of his job. But if a recession sets in, like we keep hearing it might, that might require people to do some, you know, extra number crunching.
So I think a lot of the splurging has to do with the fact that the employment rate right now is still really strong. These are people who have jobs, who have not taken pay cuts. Really what they're responding to is the fact that their salary, the same salary they've had for the past year, is going less far. So, you know, these are people who are feeling relatively secure. But of course, all that can change if, you know, we do see a dip in the job market.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal reporter Rachel Wolf. Rachel, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal.
The Wall Street Journal's What's News podcast puts you close to the people breaking the news from around the world.
Over half the population are in acute need of food.
And close to home.
The red-hot housing market is starting to slow down.
Uncovering facts.
These investments call into question some of the federal government's activity.
And diving into markets.
A lot of money exiting the stock market, which is like...
Get it all twice a day in less than 15 minutes. Navigate your world with What's News.